store.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the radio show one more time. My name's JD. We are live right now. This is the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. We are coming to you on your very favorite network for truth and alternative information, Truth Frequency Radio. You can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com. You can find us at redpillreports.com and on the dial at 90.7 under the beautiful skyline of Denver, Colorado. Today is the 26th day of May. That's right, May 26th. It is a Tuesday, which is just fine with me, I'll tell you that. I really appreciate you guys letting me take a day off yesterday. I figure one every 6 months, probably okay. And I got away from the computer for almost the whole weekend, and it was glorious, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how else to say that. It was glorious. And so I hope that you guys had a really, really nice three-day weekend. Hope you guys enjoyed the holiday, and really hope that you guys are doing well out there. We didn't have great weather this weekend, but I'll tell you what, it was just fine. Just fine with me. It is definitely springtime in Missouri, and that is cool. Want to give a quick shout out to Mr. Benjamin Hornstein, who was on last week. He is with that company, Eccentricity Coffee. And I'll tell you what, I learned so much about coffee on Friday. I was kind of astounded a little bit, and really enjoyed him taking some time out. He is actually a holistic dentist, and probably had patients that he could have been seeing. But he took time out to come and talk to us about all things coffee and the politics of coffee. Really, really interesting stuff. And he's going to come back and talk a little bit more about brewing in the future, because we kind of left off probably the most important part of the whole interview, which is how do we actually make it in our home. But anyway, awesome stuff on Friday. If you didn't get to hear that, definitely go back and check that out. It was good, good stuff. Got to say, too, we've got an amazing lineup for the week for you guys. We've got Robbie Holes coming back onto the program. Robbie Holes, of course, she's been on once before, and she wrote two different books. So she was a co-writer, co-author of Secrets of Aboriginal Healing and also The Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening. And really, really interesting stuff, basically outlining her going to live with a tribe of Aboriginal people in Australia, in the outback, and learning some pretty important, I don't want to say secrets, but they do seem to be secret here in Western medicine, but just really important insights on self-healing and things like that. And she does consultations and things, so we'll take some phone calls there in the second hour when Robbie Holes joins us. Really, really amazing books. I've already actually lent my two copies out, my copy of each one of those, to a good friend of mine who categorically refuses to return them to me because she really, really likes them. But definitely looking forward to having a discussion with her. I got to tell you, tomorrow we will have, I think his name is Cecil Deliabo. Make sure I get that right. Cecil Deliabo, I believe, is a constitutional attorney or a constitutional scholar. I'm not entirely sure because we haven't spoken yet, but we do like to talk about liberty and the Constitution and things like that on the program, so I'll definitely be looking forward to that tomorrow. Thursday is going to be a ginormous show. We have the one and only Stan Deo coming back to talk to us again. We're going to put him to task on this whole CERN thing, this whole unidentified lying object issue, and also I want to talk to him a little bit about that mercury that was discovered down in the, Mexican, I want to say it was like an Aztec village. I'll have to go look it up. But there was a big pyramid. I think it was discovered in Mexico, and they found liquid pools of mercury in the bottom. And so for a lot of us that are into the kind of the UFOlogy and the Stargate stuff, Mercury seems to come up a lot, so I want to ask him about the correlation there and see what he thinks. And of course, since that show is going to be on Thursday, it gives you guys a couple of days to come up with some good questions for Mr. Standeo. If you want to hop into the chat room that morning, I would definitely encourage it. And also, if you want to email me with questions in advance, I would encourage that as well. I don't want to leave anybody out. We'll try and take calls that day too. And then Friday, looks like some guy named Kev Baker is going to be on the program for both hours. I don't know. That probably will be just a drag, but we'll see how that one goes. I'm not sure about that guy. Gotta tell you. Just kidding. KBS. Speaking about KBS, Nano Night. It's Tuesday. We skipped over Monday and I totally forgot to listen last night because I wasn't around, but I will be listening tonight in the chat room. KBS, always awesome stuff. And Tuesday night. Nano also in the chat room right now. My chat feed is totally frozen right now, so if anybody's saying anything to me, I can't see it. So appreciate you guys all hanging out in there. Again, if you guys want to hop into the chat room, truthfrequencyradio.com is where you want to do that. Got to tell you, the boss, Mr. Chris Gio, is in there right now, so I'm trying to be on really good behavior this morning. We'll see how well that takes. See how far that takes me. I want to tell you, too, because I know Kev Baker is in the chat room right now, and he's going to absolutely love this. I got a book this weekend. You guys have to hear this title. And this guy, John Horlosky, is going to end up coming onto the program here, and I'm not sure when because I just haven't looked that far ahead yet. We'll check it out, I think, probably sometime in June, pretty clearly. But anyway, John Horlosky. Now, listen. Okay, he's next Friday's guest. Listen to the title of this book. Kev, this is for you. A Sorcerer's Apprentice, A Skeptic's Journey into the CIA Project Stargate. Is there any word in the title of that book that makes you not want to read it or not want to talk to this guy? Seriously, A Sorcerer's Apprentice, A Skeptic's Journey into the CIA's Project Stargate. This guy was quite literally part of the CIA's Project Stargate and part of this whole training of extrasensory perception, remote viewers with the CIA. Absolutely going to be amazing. And the book is amazing. I've only got into first couple chapters, but wow, A Skeptic's Journey into the CIA's Project Stargate. I'm hearing a woo guest here, guys, Anyway, that'll be next Friday. Really looking forward to that. I just kind of wanted to give you guys a heads up because I got this book and thought that, man, that's like the coolest title ever. Anyway, got to give a quick plea because it is rapidly approaching the end of the month. We do have a pretty large GoFundMe goal that's going on right now. I really want to tell everyone who has donated how much I appreciate you guys. Seriously, from the bottom of my heart. Without you guys, we couldn't keep this whole shebang rolling along, and I want to keep the whole shebang rolling along. So if anybody out there can see it in their heart to make a donation to the GoFundMe, it's on redpillreports.com there on the sidebar on the right. Anything at all that you guys could do, that would be absolutely amazing. You can email me. We'll take Bitcoin. If you've got, you want to send us that old Harley Davidson that you've got sitting out in the barn, we'll take that too. Just saying. Just kidding. Anyway, really do appreciate any type of help that you guys can offer right now. We are trying to make sure this radio show stays on the air for as long as possible. And, that's pretty much the only way I can figure out to do it right now. I am working pretty hard around the clock to try and come up with some other methods for getting some cash flow to come in for the radio show, and I'll keep you guys abreast of that as we move forward. But as of right now, as I said last week, we're kind of good to go through about the end of June, and we'd certainly like to go a lot longer than that. Again, bringing crazy guests to the program all the time. Benjamin Hornstein, we had Foster Gamble on yesterday, we got John Horlosky coming on, and Kev Baker. I mean, it's just about as good as it gets. So if you guys want that to continue, and you want us to still do live shows, because I think I can probably move us over to pre-recorded stuff, but it will just be, it'll be a lot less fun without the chat room and all that stuff going on. So anyway, that's where we're at right now. I'm basically begging you guys, if you guys can help out at all, we would really appreciate it today. This is the week we got to try and hit at least another 10% on this goal, keep us moving forward. And if you can't do it, totally understandable. I understand times are tough out there. Please, though, if you do find other hosts on the network that you really, really like, just send them some support. Send them some emails. If you can support the network, I'm sure Chris and Cherie will appreciate that. We got to do a lot. This place is 100% listener powered, and without the listeners powering it, we don't have listener power. So there you go. Let's see. Shark in the chat room. My chat room just caught up. So blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to read a whole bunch here, right? Wow. There's a lot of people in there. Very nice to see you guys this morning. Really appreciate it. Okay. Trying to catch up now. Somebody is asking me about the books. I think, Shark, if you're asking about the books today, they are, let me make sure I get the titles correct here, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing and Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening. I'm going to pretend that I have them in front of me today, but I don't because, as I said, I lent them out to a friend and she will not return them to me because she likes them just that much. But again, you can find them on Amazon. I'll drop a link in right now to the chat room so you guys can find those, because I'm sure Robbie would appreciate that too. Trying to be as active as I can in the chat room. Okay, that's pretty much everything I have on my plate in front of me today. Nano Knight on KBS, John Herlassi, Funray, yep. Okay, we're good. Let's hop into the news. It is Tuesday. There were a lot of things going on over the weekend. I'll tell you though, I think a lot of news reporters took the weekend off because I had a lot of trouble actually cultivating new current news. But anyway, here's what's going on in the international front from the war on everything scene, because that seems to be every place but America right now. The UN conference, we've been talking about what's going on in Yemen. Obviously, Saudi Arabia has been dropping bombs on Houthi rebels, and the President Hadi has been essentially fled the country, and he is trying to run Yemen from inside of Saudi Arabia right now. It's not going terribly well. The UN had come out last week saying that they were going to have a conference to try and get this violence in Yemen under control. Over the weekend, they decided that that UN conference is going to be postponed indefinitely because the exiled government, essentially the guys who fled and are running the show from Saudi Arabia right now, are refusing to participate. So again, President Hadi, he said the UN broker talks scheduled for May 28th. Again, that was coming up in just 2 days. Oh, May 28th. While we're on that date, that's the big planetary alignment. So if you're in California, holy cow, be really careful this weekend. I don't know if, you know, we all our thoughts and prayers are with Nano Girl right now, because we know she lives out there and Joe Joseph would want me to pass that along. But yes, there's a big planetary alignment that's supposed to be going on in the next couple of days, and there's a lot of potential for big earthquakes. I did see an interesting story about an earthquake that took place over the weekend, kind of way out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the Pacific between Japan and Hawaii. Now, when I dig a little deeper, found out it's no big deal. It's just the largest volcano on the planet. Really the largest volcano in the known solar system, having a 5.7 earthquake. No big deal. Nothing to see here. Anyway, probably doesn't have anything to do with the planetary alignment that's coming up on the 28th, but I don't know. Just keep your head on a swivel if you're there in California. Nano, talking to you. Already. Okay, alrighty then. So anyway, this meeting at the UN regarding the Houthi rebels and their, fighting against the Saudi Arabian-led coalition has been now postponed indefinitely because the exiled president is not trying to participate in all of this. So not really sure what is happening this morning over there, but again, we've had a lot of stories about all of the people who have passed away. More than 2,000 people right now have died, and still we're nearly at 600,000 in terms of the people who have been displaced because of this violence. So really, really, really bad humanitarian crisis going on right now there in Yemen. Moving on to stuff happening in and around Syria, Turkey and the United States have now agreed in principle to provide air protection to Syrian rebels who are being trained and equipped to fight ISIS militants once they enter Syrian territory for the battle. And this is according to the Turkish foreign minister. So we really basically have just agreed that we're going to provide some air support with Turkey as they start putting troops on the ground to try and attack basically these Islamic State militants. You have to remember, though, this is a really goofy situation because we essentially created this Islamic State militant group by arming poorly vetted, moderately rebellious rebels over there in Syria. And so this is weird because we are training people there right now. The United States has got, I think, a goal by the end of the summer to have 5,000 more of these moderate, rebels trained. So essentially we're going to send these guys, but they're only supposed to fight ISIS. And if we give air support to them while they're fighting ISIS, that's okay. But if they turn and start fighting Assad, which I think is kind of under the radar, kind of one of the goals here, then we're not going to provide them with any, because then it looks like we're providing, we're basically launching a military campaign against Assad, and that doesn't float well with the American people. So there's a lot of clandestine. We're trying to kind of wiggle our way in. We're offering Turkey some support now. And of course, Turkey's not going to turn us down because they're a NATO member and we need them for some of their other strategic bases that they offer us. It's just a mess. It's a quagmire over there, ladies and gentlemen. That's all basically that I'm telling you right now. But right now, again, they're going to be Turkey. We basically said the United States, we're going to train 5,000 troops. Turkey is up that to 15,000 Syrians, and they are using $500 million from the United States to make that happen. So while we're not actually directly training all of these troops that are going to go and hopefully battle ISIS, which is, you know, silly as far as I'm concerned. They're just going to go there and become ISIS. That's what happened last time. It seems like we've heard this song before, and I already know how that is going to go. But that is what's happening over there in terms of Turkey and the United States right now teaming up to take on ISIS. Talk a little bit about Russia. The Russian military actually launched a massive exercise over the weekend involving 250 aircraft and other weapons, according to the Defense Ministry and a statement that they released on Monday. The drills involved Air Force and air defense units of the Central, Western, and Southern military districts, totaling 12,000 servicemen. Combat aircraft were deployed to temporary bases, and air defense systems were both sent to the Ashuluk and the Kapustin Yar shooting ranges in southern Russia for training with live ammunition. It was also said that Russian bombers were launching cruise missiles at practice targets at a Siberian firing range. So you can see Russia is still gearing up for war and probably fairly well prepared for it at this point. Also, the Russian president, while we're on the subject, actually signed a bill banning the activities of foreign groups that pose a threat to national security or defense capability, and also one to punish those who continue to cooperate with such groups. This bill, initially drafted by two opposition MPs, was passed by both the chambers of the Russian parliament last week, and it tasks the prosecutor general's office with the foreign ministry with creating a proscribed list of undesirable foreign organizations and outlaw their activities in the country. And the main criterion for putting a foreign or international NGO on the list is a threat to constitutional order and defense capabilities or the security of the Russian states. Makes me wonder if any of George Soros' little NGOs are going to end up on this list. Very curious about that. So that's what's going on in Russia. Tightening the clamps there a little bit. Also, just a quick news update on Malaysian Airlines. There's some interesting stuff going on Malaysian Airlines. Obviously, they are still reeling from the tragedies that were involved, the MH370 and the MH17 disasters. Basically, they've made a huge decision right now that Malaysia Airlines is no longer going to be an international airline service. They are only going to be a local service. So, in effect, what they're doing over the next, 4 days, is they're firing all 20,000 of their employees. It's probably the largest single-day layoff in the country's history, in Malaysia's history there. And they're potentially going to be hiring back about 6,000. So, again, you can see a lot of people in the Malaysia Airlines crew right now kind of not sure what's going on in the future. And just kind of another sign of the times, I suppose. Also, a great story out of France. I really like this story. There was a counselor in France. He just got a law passed, and I was going to cover this on Friday, but I forgot to cover it. There is a law now that is passed in France which forces French supermarkets to donate unwanted food to charity, and the gentleman who passed it is trying to get this moved on to an EU-wide rule and then possibly even go from to a UN type of mandate, which I don't know how they're going to do that here in America. But again, I like this guy's idea. His name is Arash Darambosh. And he thinks it's pretty absurd that we waste as much food as we do on the planet. And so, again, he essentially forced the French MPs to adopt a regulation after he got 200,000 signatures and some celebrity support for this idea in just a couple of months. And this amendment was approved as part of a wider law, and it covers economic activity and equality in France, and it's expected to be passed by the National Assembly today, entering the statute books shortly thereafter. So what does it do? It bans supermarkets from throwing away food that is approaching the best before dates, and also bans them from deliberately poisoning products with bleach to stop them from being retrieved by people foraging through bins outside. Again, a lot of food. They estimate about 7.1 million tons of food just in France is thrown away every single year. And 70% of that is by consumers, about 15% by restaurants, and 11% by supermarkets. And the figure for food waste across the entire EU is 89 metric tons a year, while an estimated 1.3 billion tons are wasted worldwide. And it all comes down to money. It comes down to the false idea of scarcity and the false idea of competition, and also the fictional construct of profits. That's what it comes down to. It's not that there's not enough food. It's that there is not enough money to pay for it all. And that's I really like this. I've got a friend named Evan who has been, I don't want to call him a hobo, or a homeless person, but he's both of those things and absolutely lives out of dumpsters. And I'll tell you, he does pretty well for himself. But I didn't realize there were stores out there, supermarkets that were poisoning the things that they were throwing away. And so I don't know. I don't know exactly how that would play out in terms of, you know, you want the stores to be protected in their rights to sell private property. But at the end of the day, if they're just going to throw it away, then I think they should make an offering to the public, or they should all have to donate stuff like that to homeless shelters, things like that. I don't know. We'll see. Let's talk about a little bit of world change news here right now. There was a 5.6 earthquake that actually struck Tokyo and the nearby areas over the weekend, setting off alarms and halting the city's subway system. This happened yesterday afternoon. There was no tsunami warning and there were no reported injuries, but it did strike at about 2:30 local time at about 50 kilometers deep. It was centered in the Ibaraki Prefecture, Kanto region, in the main island of Honshu, and this prefecture has a population of about 3 million people. And the U.S. Geological Survey said the quake took place about 34 kilometers from Tokyo. And of course, Tokyo has a population of about 13 million. It also struck 2 kilometers from the town of Asuda and 3 kilometers from Shiroka. So that's a pretty substantial earthquake. Obviously, anything above a 6 would make me a little bit concerned, and especially happening in a place like Tokyo. Tokyo is pretty far ahead of the curve in terms of building their buildings to withstand stuff like that. So I'm glad that there were no injuries in terms of that. But again, the world's waking up, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know if it's this planetary alignment that we're coming up into. I don't know if it's CERN kicking off and doing a whole bunch of weird stuff. But something's going on. It's the world maybe getting ready to expand again. I don't know. But a volcano atop one of the Galapagos Islands has erupted for the first time in 33 years. This is going to be threatening a fragile ecosystem that inspired Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. And this is Ecuador's Galapagos National Park Administration said that the mile-high Wolf Volcano began spewing fire, smoke, and lava just before dawn yesterday morning. And this volcano lies on the northern tip of Isabella Island, which is the archipelago's largest, and it is far from the only population center. It's about 75 miles away, so there's really not any tourist activity. But again, another earthquake that hasn't erupted in 33 years, just kicking off there in the Galapagos Islands. Probably important to think about that. And then moving here towards the United States, there was a 4.8 earthquake that shook Las Vegas and the surrounding areas on Friday morning last week. And that quake hit again just before noon, centered about 23 miles southwest of Caliente, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The magnitude was originally reported at a 5.4, but the official number has been lowered twice by the USGS. It's interesting how they seem to lower those numbers after they have had a little bit of time. But again, fairly large city. You know, we're talking about Las Vegas. That's a dangerous city to be in if things do decide to go down. So just, again, more stuff happening. Keep your head on a swivel out there, kids. Okay, let's talk about some national news here really quick. The hunt is currently on for a suspect who shot and killed a New Orleans police officer over the weekend. Officer Gary Flott, who's a department spokesperson, said the officer was working overtime to guard a public housing construction site. The officer's body was found at about 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday after the Housing Authority police radioed a call saying an officer had been shot. He also says the patrol car apparently rolled one or two blocks before hitting a curb and stopping. The name of the officer has not been released yet, because they're still waiting to notify next of kin and things like that. Very unusual, because this area is not densely populated, so they're having trouble finding witnesses. And the fact that his vehicle was on makes me wonder if it wasn't a rifle shot from a distance. But again, not a lot of details coming out about this. But again, another police officer taking the brunt of this police brutality, protesting and things like that. If in fact that was what it was, we don't really know. I guess the guy could have been a bad dude. Who knows? But again, not a good situation. And of course, never advocating for violence against somebody just because of what they're doing. So not good there. Multiple arrests as dozens of people rallied in Oakland over the weekend as well. Lots of protesters arrested in Oakland during rallies against police brutality and a new protest policy implemented by the mayor, who called for monitoring of street demonstrations. So about 100 to 150 activists marched on Sunday before the organizers ended the event, according to a police spokesperson there. And later, a smaller group of about 20 people staged another protest. So again, the mayor of Oakland essentially has changed the rule right now, so that you're not allowed to protest after dark. And so these people were basically pushing their luck there. Lots of arrests, and it did get fairly violent. There's a lot of videos on YouTube. And so, I understand that people are fed up out there. I'm fed up myself. But at the same time, we got to figure out a way to get these law enforcement officers to recognize that they're really on our team. If we can get them all to just change teams, then we can probably take all this stuff back. But I don't know. That's what happened in Oakland over the weekend. Also, another silly event that happened yesterday, and I'm sorry, not yesterday, on Sunday in the Capitol. Police actually had to detonate a pressure cooker that was left in a vehicle near the Capitol buildings on Sunday, and they also arrested the car's owner on a charge of driving on a revoked license. So that's basically why the law enforcement officers decided to look into this car in the first place. They said it looked suspicious, but basically what it was is that the license was expired. They did, this gentleman also, he actually owned a food truck also, which was, not currently, he wasn't in the food truck, but he owned a food truck, and, that license was expired as well. But anyway, the law enforcement officers see him, they go through his car, essentially find this pressure cooker and freak out about it and decided to blow it up. So there's your tax dollars hard at work. This guy had an expired driver's license and expired food service tags. And, because he had a pressure cooker and he was near the White House, they decided to go ahead and detonate it, ladies and gentlemen. That's why. And so it was the Metropolitan Police, the U.S. Park Service, DC Fire and EMS, the Secret Service, the FBI, Joint Terrorism Task Force, and other federal agencies all involved with detonating this poor guy's pressure cooker, which was clearly not a bomb. They said that they didn't find anything. But there's your tax dollars hard at work, ladies and gentlemen. We are safe again for one more day. Thank goodness. We got to go to this 3-minute break, guys. When we come back, we have a lot more news to cover. And, of course, Robbie Holes of HolesWellness.com will be joining us. And we'll have a discussion about natural health and the actual healing principles of your mind. It's going to be amazing. I'm sure we'll talk about frequency and consciousness and all of the wonderful things that we like to talk about on the program. Appreciate you guys being in the chat room right now, and I will see you guys on the other side of this 3-minute break. Keep it right here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men are created equal.
The Freedom Link
with Joe Joseph, Monday through Friday, on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break, and thank you all for hanging out in the chat room. 23 in there on my side. Feed's running a little slow today, so I'm trying to keep up with all you kids, but man, I really cannot thank you guys enough for hanging out with me in the morning. It just makes me feel so welcome, like a little family going on here at TFR, and that's what TFR is all about having a chat room like this so you guys can reach out and talk to other people. Johnny Whistle's in the chat room right now. Unbelievable. So you got more than half of the awesome KBS crew. Plus, you've got Nano Girl in there right now, and Mr. Geo was in there a little while ago. Just so cool to be able to have a forum like this and chat with everybody. Love, love, love having you guys in there. And if you have questions or comments for Robbie Holes coming up in about a half an hour, that is where you're going to want to put them, and I will do my best to open up the phone lines here in the second hour or the second half of the second hour, too, because she does do a lot of consultations. So if there's questions or comments that you guys have, want to get some more insight from her, we will make that available to you guys. Let's hop back into the national news right now, because there were some weird things that happened on some airplanes over the weekend. At least 6 different flights were actually impacted by threats at airports in New York City, New Jersey, and Boston over the weekend, according to airlines and law enforcement. At JFK, an Air France plane was actually escorted to New York City yesterday morning after an anonymous threat was made against the flight. And so the FBI said the plane has been checked, cleared, no incidents or hazard reports on board, but they were stewarded to the runway by a couple of fighter aircraft that hung back far enough that the passengers apparently didn't actually see them. So again, that they say there was not a credible threat, although, again, there was a tip called in at about 6:45 in the morning on an untraceable phone line, and the caller didn't identify himself. So, again, 2 of these F-15s were scrambled and followed the plane into U.S. airspace. 2 flights in Newark, New Jersey were also affected, a Delta Airlines flight from London and a United Airlines flight from Madrid. And also at Logan Airport, a threat turned up negative for a Delta flight from Paris to Logan Airport into Boston. So again, lots of different airline flights. I missed 2 actually. Saudi Arabia flight from Saudi Arabia was also escorted to a remote area at JFK, and also an American Airlines flight from Birmingham, England to JFK. The pilot was initially instructed to taxi to a remote area. So again, 6 different airlines all flying into the United States, getting fairly specific threats, but nothing credible according to the FBI. So there you go. Good time to be out flying around over the holiday weekend. Lots and lots and lots and lots of rain happening in Texas right now. I hate to break it to you guys, but there is still more rain in the forecast for you going through this week. Central Texas, I actually saw a video of Austin, Texas yesterday actually being exposed to some flash floods. Really, really, really scary stuff. You have to be safe, ladies and gentlemen, out there in the flash floods if you're down here in the southwest part of the United States, because it comes out of nowhere and the ground cannot take that much water in. So Central Texas over the last probably 6 days has gotten about 10 inches of water, lots and lots of flooding. 3 people have passed away, 1 in Texas, 2 in Oklahoma, super duper tragic. And again, don't be a hero. If you have a boat, take your boat. Don't get into your car and try and drive anywhere. It only takes about 12 inches of water to really flush your car off of the road. Water's a lot stronger than you would think it would be. So please, if you're down in Texas right now, be very safe. So that's what's happening there. Also here in the United States, want to give a quick new heads up. I think this is pretty good news, and you guys can pigeonhole me all you want to. I don't really care. But states all across the country are now lowering the penalties in marijuana cases, and the incoming DEA chief says the agency – this is news, guys. This broke this weekend. The incoming DEA chief says that the agency will no longer focus on marijuana. Chuck Rosenberg, who is a former administrator at the FBI, claims now that instead of attacking marijuana users and sellers, that he wants to improve the DEA's procedures on classifying, declassifying, and reclassifying drugs. So we would have to point out to him that marijuana is not a drug, it's a plant. Pharmaceuticals are drugs, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So anyway, the longtime DEA chief, Michelle Lionheart, she resigned last month in the midst of various scandals, including accusations that the DEA agents were involved in drugs and prostitution. We talked about that quite a bit when that story broke. And Lionheart's views on marijuana were extremely out of touch with popular opinion, and she continually insisted that it was a dangerous drug with no medicinal value whatsoever, stating the DEA's Schedule 1 classification. You have to remember also that the United States government does in fact own the patent on cannabis as medicine. So when somebody who is the head of the Drug Enforcement Administration for the country says that there's no medicinal value, this is that point at which I really want someone to develop an app for my phone that lets me slap someone through the phone, because you will be president of the universe. You'll have my vote for president of the universe anyway, because she needs to be slapped. This is stupid. But anyway, she's being replaced now with a new DEA chief entirely retreating in the war on marijuana. So this is obviously another small step being taken towards the end of prohibition, and I do like that. Now, obviously, DEA still needs to bring in the revenue somehow, so they'll probably be turning the marijuana enforcement apparatus onto other drug users like heroin and cocaine and maybe psychedelic drugs. So probably not the best news in the world, because we're still mired in this horror of the drug war that's going on right now, and who knows if that's ever going to ease, but I do like to see at least one good change happening in terms of cannabis right now, because again, a lot of people around the country waking up to the fact that you actually have an endocannabinoid system. Imagine that. Part of your body actually needs that to continue doing what it's doing. So anyway, hoping that people get more access to medicine going forward into the future. Let's talk a little bit about the markets right now. The Dow currently down 163 points. We're at 18,069. The S&P also down today, 2106. We're down about 20 points. The dollar index is on the rise right now. We're at 97.30, which means the euro, yep, probably going down. We're at 108 on the euro right now. Bitcoin up just a touch today at 238.76. Gold down significantly today, $17 decline in gold, $1,187.90 will get you an ounce of gold. Silver also down more than 1.5% at $16.75 big pennies. Crude oil down almost 2.5% this morning, $58.20 big pennies for a big, bright, shiny barrel of crude oil. There you go. We got to talk about Greece. They broke some pretty significant news over the weekend. They're not going to be able to find the 1.6 billion euros to give to the International Monetary Fund. Spoiler alert. I don't know if, I guess that is the spoiler alert, but we talked a little bit about that last week. No way under God's green earth they're going to be able to come up with $1.6 billion in euro. They don't have enough assets. They're just not going to be able to do it. So the Greek Minister of the Interior said this over the weekend, said this money will not be given to the IMF because there is not money to be given to the IMF. So obviously coming at the same time as Varoufakis, who is the Greek finance minister, told Andrew Marr on his show that if progress was not made, it would be the beginning of the end for the euro project. And the finance minister also said that the Syriza-led Greek government has made enormous strides at reaching a deal, and now it is up to the ECB, the IMF, and the EU, affectionately known around these parts as the Troika. He expects them to do their bit and meet us at least a quarter of the way. That's what he's saying right now. And there's another possible alternative if the talks do not progress, and that would be that Greek would leave the common currency of the euro and return to the drachma. I'd like to buy a vowel. Varoufakis, the the finance minister there in Greece, said that that would be catastrophic to leave the common currency and return to the drachma. But again, no idea where their people are going to get their money. There's still money being sucked out of bank accounts over there at a pretty impressive clip. I think we had that story of more than $5 billion being sucked out of the Greek banking system over the last 4 months. Probably no indication that that's going to slow down going forward into the future. Let's talk a little bit about China here right now as well. We were talking quite a bit, I think it was the Friday before, with Andrew Gause and the potential of China basically coming out and saying that they've got a lot more gold than we believe that they have. And, you know, I was kind of reflecting on this weekend because there are some analysts out there that have been throwing around a really big number. They've been throwing around this 30,000-ton number, which is huge, right, given the fact that the United States allegedly has 8,000 tons or 8,100 tons or something like that, and that puts us in first place. But here's what I was thinking, is that maybe those analysts, because here's what China's doing right now. China's setting up a gold investment fund for the central banks. So this is kind of a big news. They've announced the establishment of a new international gold fund with more than 60 countries as members. And this is going to be a very large fund. It expects to raise more than 100 billion yuan. And they want to develop mining projects across the economic region known as the Silk Road. So people may not understand, China is actually the largest producer and the largest consumer of gold in the world. And so I was thinking about that 30,000 ton number, and granted right now that might not be the holding of the central bank there, the People's Bank of China. But remember the story that we had a couple of weeks ago about India, about the actual population of India, as well as some of those old shrines, those old temples that they've got there that are actually like Fort Knox armed guards. They said that India and the population, and as well as the temples, not including the government, was sitting on about 19,000 tons. And so I was thinking about that. There's really no reason to think that China, as in terms of its population, and same thing with India, we've got temples over there, and you've got people who make donations for luck and things like that, and they've been doing that for a long time. There's really no reason to believe that they might not, as a whole, in terms of China, have 30,000 tons, you know, in terms of their population and these temples. So the fact that they're going to open this gold fund for the central banks is going to give the central banks an opportunity to deposit their gold someplace and then actually be able to trade in a different form, essentially. And it will give people the opportunity to deposit their gold and earn interest on it. So it's going to be like an interest-bearing gold fund. It's kind of similar to what India was thinking about doing, trying to lure some of the gold out of the temples to fund their economy. And so now China basically doing the exact same thing. So we'll see if that thing takes. But I would imagine a lot of people are going to start investing in that. I would invest in that if I had gold, just saying. Let's see. Russia's finance ministry is planning on meeting with Fitch by the end of May. So this should happen just in the next few weeks. Now, Fitch is obviously one of the major three global firms that handles credit ratings and things like that. Russia's credit rating right now, according to Fitch, is BBB-, which is the lowest investment grade level that you can be. And the other two agencies, S&P and Moody's, have been keeping Russia on the non-investment grade side of the program since all these sanctions and stuff started. But Fitch basically said, well, we want to come and we want to visit you guys and actually learn a little bit more about your economy before we decide to make you guys non-investable. And it's also important to note here that inside of Russia and China, in terms of this BRICS bank, they're actually creating new independent rating agencies as well. There's one in China called Dogong, and there is now one in Russia that I don't have the name for right in front of me. But again, they are basically, just like BRICS is going to be used to circumvent the SWIFT program and basically allow countries that are involved with BRICS to get around sanctions from the West, they're going to do the same thing with their credit ratings. They're obviously going to need a credit rating agency that is tied in with BRICS. And so I think Fitch right here, even though they are deciding to come to Russia by the end of the month, kind of just clinging on for hope of still being allowed to be involved, I guess, right now. Let's see what else is going on here right now. Yellen came out. She's obviously the head of the Federal Reserve. Came out on Friday after the show, and she was doing a speech at the Provincial Chamber of Commerce in Rhode Island. She basically said if the economy improves as she expects, that it will be an appropriate time later this year for the Fed to raise interest rates. She's basically saying if nothing changes, right now, which means think about that right now, guys, that your life and your bill situation and all of that, is not going to get any better. And then if it does get any, I mean, you're basically at where we are right now. And this is the new normal. We're here now. Everybody's living paycheck to paycheck, and it's just really difficult to keep going. But according to Yellen and the Fed, it's good enough now that we can probably go ahead and anticipate raising these interest rates later on in the year. So, you know, if your income stays the same and interest rates go up and now your car payment goes up or your mortgage payment goes up, I mean, what is that going to do to the economy? We've talked to quite a few different analysts. Kenneth Shorchin's been on the program. Andrew Gause has been on the program. None of those guys think interest rates are going to get raised. If they do decide to raise them, it's going to be like a fraction of a percentage. I mean, I would even bet less than a quarter of a percent, because they want to do it symbolically without completely destroying the economy and making things really difficult. Remember, we have 36 of the 50 states right now that are not going to be able to meet their fiscal obligations here at the in the middle of June when the fiscal year ends. So it's not just the mom and pop, you know, normal everyday guy on the street that's going to be affected by this. All these states are going to be affected by this as well. So I'm still leaning more towards a quantitative easing round four. I think that there will be something will happen, that they will be able to blame, and say, oh, the economy's in tatters now. We've got to do this thing as a knee-jerk reaction. We're all kind of anticipating the month of September bringing something to the program. We're not really sure exactly what. But I don't know. We'll see if they actually do decide to raise interest rates. And I wonder what that kind of what the effect of that is going to be on the rest of us. Not good, in my opinion. So, again, thinking we'll have quantitative easing round four. But that's just me. Let's move into some science and tech news right now. The United Arab Emirates announced yesterday that they have put together a strategic framework for a newly established space agency and also the first academic space program in the Federation. So the Space Research Center will be the first of its kind in the Middle East and will be a graduate degree program in advanced space science, and it will be at the Masdar Institute of Science and Technology. And so what are they trying to do? Well, last year they announced that they were going to launch an orbiting probe around Mars in 2020, and that is they're saying it's going to be about scientific missions, or is it more like Dubai's towering skyscrapers, and that it's kind of more just like a show of force, or, you know, a show of, hey, this is how much money we've got. Well, I think it's probably safe to say it's a little bit of both. They want to do it for science, but they also want to show off what kind of capability they've got, especially with a goal of 2020. That's a pretty significant goal. So again, they did announce plans sending a probe also to Mars by 2020. It's going to be called HOPE, and the probe will be tasked with producing the first ever truly global picture of the Martian atmosphere. We'll see if they can actually pull this off or not. You got to remember, though, it's kind of like a kid with a lot of money deciding he wants to do something, which is fine, but this particular kid has got a lot of money, and I mean a lot of money, so he probably can actually pull this off. So I just think that's kind of interesting stuff going on there. Also, news about the NSA and all of this nonsense that's been going on over the weekend. Senators will return to Washington next Sunday for a last-minute, last-ditch effort to reach an agreement on the NSA's bulk surveillance, but the Obama administration says it is now already shutting down the program. So they said that they have seen for the last several days that that wind-down process would need to begin. And so because there was no legislative agreement, that process has actually begun at this point. And the statement rebuffs Republicans such as the Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr, who said earlier Saturday that the administration was being disingenuous and that the program really wouldn't go offline until next week. But again, key provisions of the Patriot Act set to expire on the 1st of June, and White House officials have been warning that without congressional action, the NSA would begin winding down its bulk collection of millions of phone records on May the 22nd. And that was the deadline set by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which oversees the nation's intelligence programs, and that secretive court, which does reauthorize the phone data collection every 90 days, told the administration it would need to file its new application by the 22nd of May. The administration there at the NSA says they did not file an application for reauthorization. So that is good, good news. Again, after the Senate failed to agree on legislation to renew the Patriot Act early Saturday, Senate Republican leaders said that they would return on the 31st of May to hash out a last-minute deal. And I don't think that they are going to be able to accomplish this. I think this might be great news, guys. We might have actually won. Now, they did pass this USA Freedom Act, so they can stick that in your pipe, because that's not exactly good news. Again, that does ban the bulk data collection, but on the other side, it allows the phone companies to keep all kinds of records on you, and then it does mean that the administration, whoever's looking into you, do have to go in and actually look for specific terms. It's kind of, I don't know. I don't really like it either way. I don't think that anybody should be keeping all this information on us, and I don't think the NSA should have unfettered access to it. So maybe the USA Freedom Act is a little bit better than the 215 provision inside the Patriot Act, but kind of remains to be seen. We'll have to wait for another Edward Snowden to step up and say this is actually what is going on. I want to give you guys a little bit of, hacker stuff going on right now. Attackers are using email spam. And what they're doing is infecting point-of-sale terminals with new malware. And this is important if you work at a place like Target or Home Depot that run Windows on their POS systems and also have network access. These what is going on is employees who are browsing the web or checking their email from their point-of-sale computers are downloading spam and malware through their email or through Facebook or whatever. And then once that stuff is on that POS system, it can infect the entire POS network and start cultivating information like credit card information and stuff like that. This is exactly what happened at the Target breach. It's also the same thing that happened at Home Depot. So I'm just kind of giving you guys a heads up. If you're one of those employees out there who has a POS terminal that you use to check people out at your store, and it does also have Windows on it, that's dangerous to be surfing on, guys. You could bring down your whole system, just saying. And also there is another attack that's been going on right now. Cyber criminals are using a web-based attack tool to hijack routers on a large scale when users visit compromised websites or often view malicious advertisements in their browsers. So this is just another type of attack that's going on. It's not super complex. The goal of these attacks is to replace the DNS system in your router. So I just wanted to kind of give you guys a little bit of a heads up that this is going on right now. If you don't know what your DNS is, you could do a quick Google search for it. But essentially, it is the phone book for the internet. It plays a very critical role, and it is part of your router settings. If you've never logged into your router, if you have a wireless router at your house and you've never logged in and changed the admin password, you probably ought to do that, because you'll be surprised how susceptible those wireless routers are. And if someone gets in, when you go into your router, you can get into your router by opening a browser, and you should be able to type like 192.68.whatever your IP address is. It'll probably self-fill in, and you find or just do a quick Google search for your browser's home IP address. You go straight to that IP address in your browser. It'll log you in once you know the password, and then you can mess around with your DNS stuff. Your DNS is usually set by your internet service provider. So you say you have Charter, it will pre-populate the DNS settings inside your server to basically, when you make a request through your browser, it'll say this guy wants to go to this particular listed name. We don't know what that is. So it turns it into numbers. The numbers go to DNS. DNA says, yes, I recognize those numbers, and this is the website. So it directs your browser. So that's the phone book. But if somebody gets into your router, compromises your DNS settings, they can send you to other places or just make your internet not work at all. And a lot of the malware out there has this effect where it'll mess with your DNS. So take a few minutes now while your internet's working, figure out how to set your DNS, because that's important to know if something does go down later on. If maybe you've got a kid who gets on the internet and goes someplace because they don't know any better, and all of a sudden your DNS stuff's all messed up. It's a very easy fix, but it can also be immensely frustrating if you don't know what is going on. So just kind of trying to keep you guys in the loop on things that are going on out there right now. And that would be one of them. If you guys have questions about that, hit me up. Send me an email, jd@redpillreports.com, and I'll walk you through it. And it's pretty simple. But again, just when there are threats like that out there, it's good to know how to fix them in advance before you find yourself as a victim of them. So also moving kind of towards the health stuff, and this is a science news, so this will be our bridge between health and science today. But a Chinese team now has unveiled a new product of bioengineering, which is a bioengineered cornea, and they introduced this on Saturday. They expect it to help millions of people suffering from corneal blindness, helping all of them see again. It's called the A-cornea, and it is an acellular corneal stroma product. It was developed mainly by Chinese Regenerative Medicine International Limited and the Tissue Engineering R&D Center with the 4th Military Medical University. It is a result of decades of research and was It is accredited with due qualification by the China Food and Drug Administration in late April. So they are past the human testing portion of this particular thing. So this product, which is a kind of a heterogeneous cornea, is devoid of cells, hybrid proteins, and polysaccharides and other antigens, but it retains a natural collagen structure with remarkable biocapability and biological safety, according to the head of this tissue engineering R&D center. So it can quickly integrate with the surrounding tissue and promote its own cells to be rebuilt. The transplanted cornea will gradually become transparent, thus recovering the patient's vision. Existing treatment for corneal blindness usually includes transplants and artificial corneas, and some heterogeneous materials like glass and silica gel made with synthetic materials are often rejected by the body. In this particular program, using these new A corneas, have now achieved a success rate of 94.44%, which is about the same as results seen with donated human corneas. So I think that's pretty cool. Another move ahead in science. We are obviously all becoming androids at this point, but at least it's a biological creation. And again, there's only about 5,000 people right now actually get the surgery a year that they need to combat this corneal blindness. But it's estimated that there's like 8 million people on the planet that could actually use this surgery. So anything that brings the cost down and makes that more likely to happen, we kind of have to support around here. Give you guys a couple of quick blasts from the health section. Sri Lanka banned the main ingredient in Monsanto's herbicide Roundup. So, of course, they are banning glyphosate. They probably reacting to the fact that the World Health Organization said it's probably carcinogenic last month. Remember when they said that? So, yeah, Sri Lanka banning it. The Netherlands also over the weekend decided that they are banning the glyphosate again. So Monsanto taking a pretty big hit this weekend. It was also a global day of protest against Monsanto. I think it was on Saturday. And many cities around the world participating in trying to bring Monsanto down. And again, love all that. We got to go to the 3-minute break, guys. We've run out of time for the news. There's plenty more of it at redpillreports.com. We're going to go to this quick break, and when we come back, we will have the one and only Robbie Holes from Holes Wellness on the program, and we'll be ready to take some questions and comments from the chat room and also open up the phone lines here in a little while. So we are going to go do that, and I'll see you guys on the other side. Keep it right here, guys. See you in a second.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
You must unite what has been set us up.
We are TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. And for all of you guys in the chat room at Truth Frequency Radio, just love having you guys along for the ride. We have a very special guest today. The one and only Robbie Holes is going to be joining us, has joined us, is joining us right now. We've had her on the program before and we had a fantastic response. I really like when I discover somebody else out there on the planet who thinks about the world in a very similar manner to the way that I do and the way I believe that all of you guys do as well, talking about collective consciousness and healing and frequency and things like that. Robbie Holes is just way up there at the top of my list of favorite people on the planet, ladies and gentlemen. And for those of you guys who don't know Robbie, she is an international speaker. She is also a holistic consultant and an award-winning author of the memoirs Secrets of Aboriginal Healing and Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening. And she uses the Australian Aboriginal principles, and by using those, she actually healed herself of hepatitis C and fibromyalgia. And she also now works with Aboriginal healers in Australia. So through her global speaking events, also private consultations and online self-healing courses and her award-winning books, Robbie helps other people stay awake and understand their inner power to heal themselves so that they heal faster and stay healed in the long run. And so very, very happy to be welcoming Robbie to the program once again. Robbie, thank you for taking some time out of your schedule to join us this morning.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, JD.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. And again, a lot of good feedback last time you were on the program. I absolutely love these two books that you have co-written, I should say. I used to speak English pretty well. It was just not this early on a Tuesday. But again, really like these books quite a bit. And I will pass these links along into the chat room so you guys can find them as well. But I do want to say I lent these books to a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, Robbie, and she has categorically refused to return them to me because she loves them that much. So I think that's a pretty big accolade. And it's somebody out there who's actually using them the way that you intended them to be used, which is passed around and people getting information from it and becoming, more holistic, I guess would be a good way to say that.
Books don't come back. People want them. And really, my passion is really helpful. So yes, pass it on.
Yes, absolutely.
Find a new friend, JD. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, she's awesome, and I appreciate the fact that she appreciates you, and I appreciate the fact that the listeners do as well. So I kind of want to jump into a discussion about these books a little bit today, and to kind of put a more of a fine point on it, it really seems to be the culmination of two different stories kind of coming together, both your husband who passed away in 2007, as well as your story about how you guys kind of met and the research that you guys have done and the healing journey that you guys have both been on separately and yet together. So I kind of want to try and, you know, meld all of this into one major discussion. And I think I'd like to kind of start with your husband's journey first. Now, Gary did eventually travel to a remote Aboriginal village, and he was hoping that he could get healed from his multiple sclerosis. You want to start there and maybe talk a little bit about Gary's story?
I mean, he had really been given a death sentence by the his doctors at California, and they told him time to live. He was actually at that point. And
Robbie, I'm gonna disconnect from you for just one quick second, and I'm gonna reconnect because we're having a little bit of a static issue, and I don't want to miss anything that you're saying. Okay, so just
I'll be
right back with you. Hang on 1 second. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make sure you guys can get a good feel for what she is talking about.
Hi, you've reached Holtz Wellness. We're not able to take your call at the moment, but if you'll leave your name.
But it sounds like our connection will be better once we can get Robbie back on the phone here. It's a beauty of live radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes the Skype, the gods of Skype, don't want to cooperate.
Hi, you've reached Holtz Wellness.
Oh, my goodness.
We're not able to.
Hang on 1 second here, guys. Let me give that a minute. Maybe she can turn off her answering machine, and then we'll be right back with her. I really do want you guys to hear some of her information because this is really, really deep stuff. We talk a lot on the show about frequency and about consciousness and things like that, and she is somebody who is absolutely right there in the thick of it. All right, this sounds
good
like
morning.
Hey, that's better. Let's see if we have our connection. Hello, can you hear us over there?
Hi there.
Hi, can you hear me, Robbie?
Good.
Robbie, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hang on 1 second. Can you hear
good
me there, Robbie?
Morning.
Okay, we're gonna try this one more time. We're gonna try it one more time here, guys. Bear with me here. I'll be back in just one quick. Bring us back onto the program here, and then we should be good to go. Give me just one quick second. Hopefully everybody can hear us right now, and I think we are back on, young lady. So let's start where we were. We were talking about Gary's journey to Australia and essentially what led him down that path.
It was a path of desperation. The man wanted to survive for his children, and he had been given a death sentence by his doctors, medical doctors in California. So he met a naturopathic physician who told him that the remote Aboriginals in the outback of Australia had remarkable healing gifts. And in his wheelchair, as a quadriplegic, he went there alone. And they knew he was coming before he even contacted them. They are very tuned in, and they knew that he was supposed to be coming, and they were supposed to help him, and they were supposed to give their healing secrets to him.
Wow.
So he went into the outback and actually spent about 10 days time with them, and in 10 days time regained feeling that he hadn't had in 7 years from the neck down, and clumsily walked down that airplane aisle and actually stopped the MS. He no longer had MS after he came out of the desert.
It's just amazing.
It really transformed his life dramatically in every regard.
Right. And I think last time you were on, we kind of talked about some of the techniques that the Aboriginals were using to help him kind of come to terms with MS. Do you want to kind of dig into that just a little bit? Because, you know, one of the revelations that you came out with last time, which I fully believe and absolutely support, was this idea that all of these physical ailments that we have are kind of manifestations of an emotional side of things that we don't often consider. And so you had kind of talked a little bit about how Gary was presented with some choices that he had to make while he was there, and how that ended up kind of opening his heart, opening his mind, opening his healing process up. And I think that's just really amazing. So I wonder if you could kind of dig in on that just a little bit.
Sure. Well, you know, what the Aboriginal people taught him was that you're a body, mind, and a spirit. Those are all connected and can't be separated out. And so whereas Western medicine tends to deal with the physical body, they know that the soul also has a voice in this. But very importantly, your emotions play a huge role in these diseases or dis-ease. And there's always an emotional root there. And if you don't get to that emotional root or core of this illness, it's like picking the top of a dandelion. It'll come right back again.
Right.
So for Gary, he had to recognize that he had physically numbed himself from originally emotionally numbing himself to his circumstances. He came from a very abusive alcoholic father who used to beat him, and so he had learned with this brilliant mind of his how to numb himself emotionally until he actually numbed himself physically. So he had to go back and realize that was the root, and more importantly, he had to learn how to forgive his father and realize that there's always a gift in everything. And his father, sometimes the most painful teachers are the best teachers. The most painful experiences have the best gifts in there because they have a dramatic effect on us, which can be a very positive thing if you allow it.
Mm-hmm. How long was Gary actually out with the Aboriginals, and how long did it take until he was actually, you know, really started recognizing that this was the right ticket and this was going to work?
He was only out there probably about 10 days. It was a very quick thing, but it was very dramatic. And you have to remember that he was working with two healers, one who knew English. She was part Aboriginal, part English, so she could communicate to him. And then the other healer also understood English, and he was the one who had an apartment in Brisbane, was able to communicate with Gary. That's the one who Gary contacted to come into the desert. But then the tribe, and these tribes are very small, the remote ones, they're very small. There may be a couple dozen people. The tribe had never experienced a white person, as far as I know, and they were telepathic. They didn't speak English. But this tribe was also working on Gary while he was communicating to the healers and actually working with the healers. The tribe was sending him energy. The tribe was seeing him well. The tribe was actually doing tremendous things as well. So they were a part of the healing as well. A lot of people don't recognize that.
Well, and it's funny because I think I said it last time, but the feeling that I get is a very Carlos Castaneda feel, the very, Journey to Ixalan, we expected you to be here, why are you so late kind of affair, you know, very, very interesting stuff. And that makes me wonder, we talk about these Aboriginal tribes in Australia, but is this knowledge and this capability that they have, is that limited to just them, or are there other groups of people around the world that practice the same type of thing?
You know, I think this knowledge is in a lot of these indigenous cultures because they've never lost that connection. Mm-hmm. We have lost this connection to this inner life within us. We've lost this connection to Mother Earth. We've lost this connection to nature, especially when we started speaking out loud. It's a very primitive thing to be speaking out loud as far as the Aboriginal people are concerned. It's chaotic, which I would totally agree with. And so they know that all that you need to know to heal is within you. Your body wants to heal. It's just that somehow you're blocking that energy. And I love that with the Aboriginal people, there's no criticism. Okay, so you blocked energy. No problem. You know, now let's just unblock it.
Right.
That we tend to be really hard on ourselves. So this information is available all over the world. Because it's interesting how the United States tends to be a little different, because we've got a lot of pharmaceuticals here. Let's face it, it's a business.
It's a business.
It's a business. And so a lot of this is very downplayed. But if you start recognizing that the mind is a huge factor in healing, a huge factor, like the Aborigines know, it's going to make a difference, and it can greatly complement whatever you're doing.
Right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about unblocking today, but before we do, and we've talked a little bit about Gary's experience there, but I wonder if you would talk a little bit about how you kind of came into this Aboriginal healing as well, because I know that you cured yourself of hepatitis C and also fibromyalgia, which is pretty darn impressive. How did all that come about?
again, desperation.
Right.
You don't go down these paths unless you're kind of forced to.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
I delivered my son 30 years ago, I was given a blood transfusion that had, it was a rough delivery, and they gave me a blood transfusion that kind of perked me back up again, and it was tainted with hepatitis C. And back then, they didn't have a name for it, so they certainly didn't have any kind of treatment for it. They called it non-A, non-B. And the hepatitis at one point almost killed me. It was extreme stress and pressure that sort of brought it out of the basement. I didn't even know that I had it in me. And I was fortunate that it did kind of rear its ugly head so that I knew that I had it. Most people are just discovering this now, 30 years later, that they've got this disease.
Right.
But the hepatitis came forth, and now the only thing they could offer was an experimental treatment, and then that experimental treatment almost killed me and left me in pretty bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't finish a sentence. I didn't know what I was talking about. I had so much brain damage. My organs had been shutting down. I couldn't get out of bed for about 6 to 9 months.
Wow.
Certainly doing simple things like walking to the mailbox was just impossible. But I was determined to survive because I had this little boy that was too young to remember me.
Mm.
And I wanted to be a parent to him. And so I started going off searching for answers and discovered that there are all kinds of answers just because Western medicine didn't have anything for me. And ended up healing myself of the fibromyalgia that I had picked up along the way because of the experimental treatment they put me on, and the chronic fatigue syndrome, and the hepatitis C. Those I healed, and I was surprised to discover later when I met Gary a couple years down the road, it's the same principles that the Aborigines use. It's the same five easy principles. So that was really sort of created an even greater passion for me to get this information out there to help other people recognize how to heal themselves, because they have that power. It's just that we often give our power away to people with credentials or people who have different belief systems than us, and
yes,
it's not necessarily a good thing to do.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the principles that you learned out there. You mentioned five. I don't know if you want to go into all of them, but I think a lot of people out there would be really interested in, just on a fundamental level, what are some of the principles that you picked up while you were studying with these Aboriginals?
Sure. Well, the first one is very basic. It's willingness. But also, you know, people may be surprised to discover that they're not willing to make those changes, or they're mm-hmm. not willing to get better. They're getting a secondary gain from being sick or not having to make changes in their life. And so that's the first step. You've got to be willing. I was talking to a woman just last night who was a rehab counselor, and she said there are some people who just aren't willing to make those changes. It's part of their identity. It's
that's
part
right.
of their way of life. So that's the first step. And then the second step is you need to become aware of why this is in your life. And I think this is really important, JD. I think, and this is what the Aboriginal people will tell you, these physical challenges, this disease, if you will, is simply a messenger. It's letting you know that there was some emotional stuff going on that created this in the first place, and that if you don't understand that you've been hanging out in these fear-based emotions or guilt, which is one of the most toxic things to the body,
mm-hmm.
if you don't recognize that, I liken it to a dashboard on a car. You know, you've always got this peace and bliss running through you, and if you start wandering away from that, not that there's anything wrong, weird experience things, but if you do it often enough and you go off into resentment or anxiety or stress or, you know, judgment, guilt, that can be really hard on the body, especially
yes.
if you do it enough and you don't release it. So it's kind of like that dashboard is starting to blink now. And if you keep doing it long enough, and again, not releasing this stuff, now that dashboard is lit up all the time, and that's called diabetes, it's called heart attack, it's called a physical ailment. So that's why you can't just take the bulb out and fix the physical and say it's done. You've got to go back and find out what's the emotional root.
Hmm.
And that's the awareness. Why is this here? The cancer is a messenger. It's just a messenger. And so you've got to go back and understand, why is this here in my path? Now, remember I said that it's a body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to also understand, what's the spirit, the soul's role in this? If you have come in deliberately, like children often are born with something.
Yeah.
They come in deliberately as part of their soul's journey. So, again, those three have to be aligned. And if the soul's not aligned with getting better, then it's not going to happen. Also, with people who are ready to pass over, it may be that this particular, like cancer, may be a way for them to loosen their grip on this body and for their loved ones to also do the same.
Wow.
So that's why it has to be an alignment of, JD, most people are not supposed to be sick. Most people are supposed to be well. It's just that their bodies are crumbling under the emotional weight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the awareness. How's that?
That's fantastic. I'm here busily taking notes because, again, we're getting into a little more depth than we got into last time. And I'm really, it's just so fascinating to me because you brought up this idea of the cancer as a messenger. And, you touched on this idea that it could be something to kind of loosen the emotional investment that someone might have in their body, but also that it could be loosening that emotional investment that their family members have in that person as well. And it just really is kind of astounding how it still comes back to a collective consciousness or a collective betterment aspect to that. And maybe I'm reaching a little bit there, but do you see what I'm saying?
No, I think you're right on. Absolutely. And I think that's what people tend to forget, that this is a soul's game.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we tend to get really immersed in the human mind and the human expectations and the human belief systems. But overall, it's a soul's game. And so that's why you want to pay attention to, why is this here? Because it's here to help me to grow as a soul. Everything is here as opportunity to help you grow. And that's, again, sometimes it's like, how bad does it have to get before you're willing to pay attention, willing to make those changes? If you're holding a lot of resentment towards somebody, that something that happened to you when you were younger or a marriage that failed or whatever, and you're holding a lot of that in your body, especially around the heart area, and you start having heart problems because it does affect that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how bad does it have to get before you're willing to let that go? And that's why I love the Aboriginal people are so wise. They'll tell you it's about having these experiences come to you, experience it, and then release it with gratitude and move on to the next experience. And they will tell you that we civilized tribes tend to hang on to things that come to us, that happen to us. And before you know it, we've got a story, we've got a movie trailer, we've got baggage that we're life, and we keep pulling that story out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not doing your body any good if it's creating a different type of cell. And that's something that we could go into. I think people really don't understand. We're very conscious. A lot of us are very conscious of what we drink, what we eat, what we're putting into our body, exercising. But we need to equally be conscious of what kind of thoughts am I marinating in on a regular basis, because
mm-hmm.
it's having an effect on my body. It's very simple, JD. Either you're in love-based emotions, which are heart and soul-based, or you're in fear-based emotions, which are, that's mind stuff.
That's
and
funny.
It's that mind stuff.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're answering questions before I'm getting an opportunity to ask them. So if you could just slow down and give me an, because I was just going to ask you from an Aboriginal perspective, what is the difference between, you know, a heart awareness and a mind awareness? And you were kind of just delving to dig into that, but I just,
yeah,
kind of in my brain right now already.
Rail me in, JD, just rail me in.
You're doing great.
You can see I get so excited about this. Well, see, that's the thing. When you have, fear-based emotions, they tend to be mind-oriented, that you have expectations of how people should react, you're trying to control things. That's mind stuff. And that, Dr. Emoto, do you remember, did you ever see Dr. Emoto's water experiment?
Absolutely. We talk about it very often, and it's, for people who don't know, Dr. Emoto is a Japanese gentleman who did experiments with water, basically impregnating water with emotion using words, frequency, and, saw physical manifestations inside the matter at, you know, as a result of those frequency changes. So it's basically cymatics, just kind of with an electron microscope at this point, right?
Exactly. Well, you're good. You are better than an encyclopedia. I'm telling you, you're actually better than Google. I've noticed.
I know way too much junk. It's just got a lot of crap stuck in my head.
And the yes room. I love it. Well, what I was going to say is that Dr. Emoto showed us that when you have something that's kind of negative or toxic to the body, like fear or guilt, it creates a different cell. Those emotions create cells that are very discombobulated. They really aren't very healthy. They are low vibration. They're very dense. They're sticky and gunky, if you want to get down to the energetic reality there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really hard on the body. And those cells tend to be, for instance, we hold grief in our heart area. And if you create enough of that grief and you don't release it, you're creating a lot of problems in that heart area. And so the opposite of that is if you have more love-based emotions like joy, gratitude, forgiveness, they're a different cell. Dr. Emoto showed how they're like this beautiful snowflake, very, very high vibrational functioning cell. Mm-hmm. And disease can't sustain in that high vibration. And if you want to heal faster, start having a lot of gratitude, because that is a different cell that really, really promotes health. So that's the difference, is that this, you got to pay attention to what kind of emotions, because they can be hard on the body or they can promote a very thriving situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between love-based or fear-based, which is the mind.
Well, and I like that you kind of brought it back into the scientific aspect too, because a lot of people probably don't know that, you know, your body is mostly water, and it's a very specific type of water. It's actually a fourth state of water called structured water, and it's very, very specific, kind of has a very natural crystalline tendency to it. It structures itself. That's why it's called structured water. And, you know, again, understanding that in every cell you've got this structured water, and that all of your emotions are emanating out either from your heart or from your brain as a frequency, they affect those things. So the ability to affect everybody on a cellular level from a frequency standpoint is significant, and I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I think that that's just a point that people need to be really, really driven into people's minds, I think, Robbie.
That's a very good point. That frequency has an effect on the body, and whereas that lower frequency of kind of these fear-based, controlling, you know, negative responses, it's a swampy breeding ground for disease.
Yeah.
And that's why you got to pay attention to that.
That's
and
right.
It not only affects you, but it affects other people around you and the planet. And that's why I'm saying pay attention to not just what you're eating, but pay attention to what you're feeding yourself emotionally, because it's going to create a body that reflects that.
Absolutely. And we've only got about a minute and a half until we have to go to this quick break. And I just wanted to touch on one other quick question in terms of the Aboriginals. Is there anything different that they do nutritionally over there, or is that too much to go into with just a minute and a half?
you know, that's hard for me to answer, because their environment is very different than ours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're comfortable eating grubs and what's available to them, and they will communicate to the plants. They're so connected that they know how to communicate to the plants to find out, you know, which plants are for healing, or to communicate and find out where the water is, where the water source is, which a lot of other indigenous cultures around the planet do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, they're so similar. When you get to these cultures that have always stayed connected to the planet, they have a lot of the same beliefs and a lot of the same practices.
Well, and it's insane, because they have much of the same success rate too, and they don't seem to have global wars or global famine or, you know, a need to vaccinate all of us with 215 different vaccines. I mean, it seems to me like it's the common sense answer is to go back and look at the people who are successful in the systems that they've got, and then to replicate that. But I'm, you know, maybe I'm old fashioned in that way. I'd rather trust nature and be part of nature than try and separate myself from it and, just, you know, mitigate my symptoms with some sort of medicines. That just doesn't make sense to me. You know, health is not a lack of symptoms, ladies and gentlemen. Health is health. And, they try and pass it on you guys that lack of symptoms is health, or that treated symptoms are health. And that's just not the case. Anyway, we do have to go to this quick 3-minute break. Robbie Holes is our guest today. Very, very good stuff. Appreciate you guys all hanging out. I will put her links back into the chat room one more time. Definitely recommend getting these books from Amazon. And is Amazon the best place to get these books, Robbie?
Sure.
Okay.
It's probably the cheapest. But, you know, I love to support the little bookstores. If you've
Roger
got a
that.
Little, a small bookstore, go.
Roger that. I'd get a book, one of each of these, and get them in your local library, too. We got to go to this 3-minute break, guys. We will see you on the other side. Keep it right here. Take it.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Within Radio with Tom Barnes and Tommy Wickate, Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. We are moving into the final segment with our very special guest today, Ms. Robbie Holes, and you can find her at holeswellness.com. I put the links in the chat room, and I also put the links to the Amazon in case you want to pick up these books. We had started to talk a little bit about the 5 principles that the Aboriginal healers use, and we got through a couple of them, but I'm going to kind of digress away from that because I really want to encourage you guys to get these books. These are fantastic books, ladies and gentlemen. They're not thin, and they tell some amazing, amazing stuff. And so I'm just kind of going to leave it there and just, again, want to encourage you guys to pick up copies of these books and to support Robbie. Robbie, before the break, we were kind of starting to talk a little bit about frequency and its effects on the body, and we touched a little bit on the diet over there. But over the break here, you kind of mentioned another thing that all of these Aboriginals do that I think a lot of people might be really surprised about. What was that exactly?
Well, this is a really simple thing that we can all do, but they bless their food. They want that food to know that it's been honored and respected, which is a beautiful thing to do. Mm-hmm. And not only does that, it's a beautiful practice to bless your food, which, you know, we used to always say grace over our food. I don't know, I think that's kind of been lost over the years.
Seems to have been, yeah.
But blessing that food increases the vibration of that food, and that increases the vibration and higher frequency in you. It's really important to pay attention to, you know, it really is, everything is always very simple. We just tend to complicate it. If you are in these lower vibrational states, whether it's through emotions or eating processed food or dead food, you know, a lot of this convenient food, it's a lower vibration. It's going to lower your vibration. It makes easier for you to be hanging out in depression, anxiety, because these are lower vibrational states and it's really easy for disease to happen. And so when you're eating fresh, vibrant, organic food and blessing it as well, it's a higher vibration, it's a higher frequency, and that is something that your body thrives on. And it's again, it's going to raise your vibration, and that will increase your health and those cells, the vibrancy of those cells. So that's a really simple thing to do, is to pay attention to what food choices, the fresher it is, the higher the vibration.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, too, we had a fantastic article last week while we're talking about natural health. There's a new study that has come out talking about when you eat leafy green vegetables, things that actually photosynthesize, that your body actually takes those and uses them in your cells, which means if you're out in the sun, you can actually create ATP energy down in your mitochondria on a cellular level. So just another benefit for eating the leafy greens. I like to just kind of put that plug out there. But while we're on that subject, Robbie, is there any correlation to the principles of Aboriginal healing that relates to the process of sun gazing or grounding? Are those things that you experienced while you were out there?
Wow, you've got some great questions, JD. Nobody's ever come up with that one.
I have an inquisitive mind. What can I say?
Yes, you do. You have an informative mind. You know, that wasn't something that we were doing, although I was very aware, and you might have been the one who mentioned this before, that, you know, just the fact that they have their barefoot out there in the, you know, in the desert, that they're grounding. They're mm-hmm. so much more grounded than we are, whereas we've got this concrete and we've got shoes and we have all these layers, so we can't really feel the earth like they do, and we don't have that connection as well.
That's right.
That didn't come up, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, it's the largest antioxidant that there is on the planet is the planet. If you're barefoot on it, you're actively engaging in antioxidant exchanges with the universe and with the planet, and it will eliminate free radicals. I mean, I hear great, great things about, I mean, I like to garden barefoot. I think that's just a, you know, do two birds, one stone type of thing. But I was wondering about, you know, the correlation with the sun as well, if they paid any special consideration to the sun in their practices over there.
That's a good question. I like the great central sun and all that. I can't tell you that because I had very limited experience with just this particular tribe, as did Gary. And it's possible that they do, but they didn't open that up to us.
Gotcha.
So and I could see where they probably were very selective about what they exposed us to.
I imagine. So, I mean, are there a lot of secrets of Aboriginal healing that you guys weren't exposed to? I mean, did you guys kind of just get a tip of the iceberg sort of affair or what?
Yeah. Well, and I think that they tailored it to the Western mind. You know? I mean,
okay.
That's why they had to, because there's no doubt in my mind that if they were healing an Aboriginal person, it would have been a slightly different approach.
Interesting.
You know, in the Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, we describe how they wrote on paper things for his subconscious to absorb, and they put that paper on his bare chest under his shirt. That they would, I have no doubt that they wouldn't do that with a tribe person, you know. Because that was it was something that his scientific mind needed. It was something that we could understand. Mm-hmm. We live in a very different world than they do. They're so tapped in. They're already so connected to nature. They're already so connected to this grid. They see things. They see into these other realms and dimensions that we really are sort of beginning to move into. So they probably had to start a little bit more basic with him.
Gotcha.
And also because they were giving this healing wisdom that they wanted him to be able to take out into the world, so it needed to be at a level that anybody could use.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done. So, but I loved your analogy about walking through the grass and gardening at the same time. It keeps coming back to the simplicity. Come back to nature. Come back to the simplicity of life. And I think you'll find not only is it healthier, but it's so much more fulfilling and happier.
Absolutely. And at the, you know, and the benefit of gardening barefoot is you get strawberries. I mean, how can you possibly go wrong with that? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So
I love it.
You know what I mean?
Love it.
It's healthy, it's beneficial, and you get strawberries. That's just, you know, that's as good as it gets. I want to talk a little bit about some of their other ideas for unblocking some of these negative emotions. And I mean, are we talking about chakra manipulation at its best here?
That can be part of it, because what happens is these emotions, they tend to clog things up because your cells are now, when you've got, and I'll talk about guilt because I was raised Catholic, so I've got that running seriously. It's my default mode, whether I know it or not, it's there. Guilt is really hard on the body, and what it is it's a denser cell now. It doesn't hold as much life force in it. So, you know, that's what you have to pay attention to, simply releasing these things. And there's so many ways to release things. First of all, one of the things that I like to do, especially in my consultations with people, is give them a different perspective so that they don't see things the same way. They understand with gratitude why that had to happen rather than the resentment. Mm-hmm. So see things from a bigger perspective. See things probably from the soul's perspective. You have to step back far enough to see, okay, this is the way we needed to learn this, or it wouldn't have happened that way. This is the way they need to learn this. I need to let them grow at their own pace in their own way. That's a big one for people. They really don't want their loved ones to suffer or to have to go through difficult challenges, not recognizing that's what that loved one needs to go through so that that soul can have that growth and experience.
Right.
So, you know, that you sort of release then that fear-based trying to control things, or you finally let it go. That's a big one, JD. You simply let it go. And that's what the Aborigines keep trying to tell us, is that just let it go. We've had these experiences that maybe took 3 minutes, and yet we will continue to spend hours thinking about it. That's mm-hmm. the mind again. Let go of the past. They are so present moment. It's a challenge for them to live in this world, especially when it comes to money, because they live in the present. They don't need that money at the moment. They don't care about it.
Right.
It's let go of the past and don't let that mind drag you off into the future. That's where we get into a lot of trouble. When you get to the point where you can have these things come up and they're not triggering you anymore, you know you have released them.
Okay, so I want to stop. I want to dig into that really quickly, because you just hit on the exact question that I was going to ask you, is this whole concept of letting it go. Does that mean you never ever focus on it ever again? Or, I mean, let's dig into how do you know when you've successfully let one of these emotions go?
Great question.
Okay.
What you do is you shift that mind, because this is what the mind has kind of led you down that dark alley. You shift that mind from its fear-based, controlling, negative stuff into more loving responses. So you have to, it's just habits. It's just a matter of retraining that mind. Let's shift that mind into, what can I be grateful for about this?
Mm-hmm.
Or can I find some compassion for this? Can I find some patience and kindness for myself in this situation? And so you start seeing things from a more loving stance, and that's a different perspective. And then as you do that, there's a Teflon effect now. It doesn't bother you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't trigger you like it used to. Otherwise, it's the mind hanging on to its stuff, hanging on to beliefs, hanging on to expectations, conditioning, having a belief system that, you know, that's really creating the problem. It's not necessarily real. It's just that the mind has created that. He shouldn't have reacted that way. She should have done something different. You know, or why did this have to happen to me? It was a big mistake. No, no mistake. Nothing random. It happens on purpose because it's part of the soul and its growth and what it needs to experience.
I love it. So basically, if you had a negative thing that happened in your life and it kept coming up, if you could kind of sit, focus on that, and find the silver lining, find something that was a result of that incident that you could then focus gratitude on, if you could say, oh, man, that was a tough time, but I'm really glad it happened, because if that hadn't happened, then all of this wouldn't happen. And try and remain on the gratitude side of the coin, then that's a successful technique. Does that sound about right, Robbie?
Absolutely. And that's what happened with Gary. He had to realize that although his father had been a very tough parent and abusive to him, his father, he had to look at it from the eyes of more loving stance. He became grateful because he realized his father had taught him how to be very self-sufficient. There was a lot of gifts in there,
mm-hmm.
and that it changed him. It made him strong. It made him so independent and strong that he was able to start his own aerospace company with that strength. You know, it created a different person. So he started feeling gratitude and forgiving what had happened and realizing that it was a real gift in the end. And I tell you, I do a lot of workshops, and we start talking about this. And people will tell me, and I will ask them, what have been some of your biggest challenges that you have realized are gifts in the end? And I've had people in these groups who are brave enough to say things like they've been raped, and they realize that there was a gift in the end of that, but they had to get their mind to shift over into, okay, why is this on my path? Because every one of us is on a very unique spiritual path, our growth for their soul. again, it's a soul's game. We come here because it's a beautiful way to grow and learn and experience. It's paradise, but it's also a university, so to speak, for
yes.
soul growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to understand, why is that here on my path? Because it's very deliberate. And if you have a fear about something, if you have something that you have an aversion to, it's going to show up on your path because you've got to release the mind's hold on it.
Is that why I see spiders all the time, Robbie? Because they're everywhere in Missouri. I was told there were no spiders in Missouri when I moved here, and that was a bald-faced lie. So do I have like
right.
a soul? I've got a soul wrestling mission with a spider at some point for some reason.
Well, it could be. You know, I think if you start to really delve into spiders and how amazing they are, I think your mind would probably loosen its hold on that.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, JD. You know, we've got tremendous help from the other side of the veil. That's another thing that the Aborigines understand.
Right.
They'll tell you the mind plus the big guy, which is their genderless term for divine source or God or goddess, whatever you choose to call it.
Mm-hmm.
The mind plus the big guy equals anything. So if you start using that mind and shifting it over into more love-based responses, start asking for assistance from this higher consciousness, whatever that means to you, whether it's your soul or a guardian angel or the universe or divine source, allowing that assistance, it's tremendous what can happen. Help me release this. Help me find compassion here. Watch the assistance show up because it always shows up,
mm-hmm.
always shows up.
Well, it's so important that you bring that. I don't mean to interrupt, but the idea of acknowledgement, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you know, I was a musician, or I kind of still am a musician, but I studied music in school. And one of the things that I learned about producing music from a good friend of mine who is a very, very, very good musician was that he would sit down to write a song and he would say, you know, I'm not sitting down to write a song. I'm sitting down to remember how this song went, right? And that was a totally different mindset
yeah.
because it eliminates in your brain this idea that it might not actually exist. And there's a lot of people out there who take tests in the same way. If you go into a test scenario and say, I just need to remember these answers. I don't need to figure out the answer. I just need to remember, because then you're not giving your brain an out by saying, oh, I can't do it, or it doesn't exist. And that's that same thing. Once you acknowledge the fact that there is another side of the veil and open yourself up to being assisted by it, you'll find that that assistance is going to be a lot more forthcoming because you've given the opportunity for it to exist, you know, that leeway in your brain.
Perfect. Perfectly said. And here's the other thing. It's a free will planet, which means you can pain and struggle through as much as you want. But the minute you ask for assistance, now this assistance is allowed to come in.
That's right.
And because otherwise you're here to learn and grow, but when you ask for assistance, it is always there. So, and all this information is there. How to heal is there. It's all in you. It's just about accessing. And so you've got to quiet that mind, which is with its conditioning and its belief and its chattiness. You've got to quiet that mind so that you can find and feel those answers and remember, as you put it,
mm-hmm.
because you have all this already. It's
That's
just
right.
about remembering it again.
Man, I love talking to you, Robbie. I want to go to the phone calls here real quick. We do have a good friend, Fran. She calls very often and has always got great, great questions and comments. So I'm going to hop over to the phones right now. Fran, you are on the air with Ms. Robbie Holes and myself. What are your questions or comments, please?
Well, hey, JD. Hey, Robbie.
Hey,
Fran. Everyone listening. Hello.
Hi, Fran.
I am really floored by this because, quite frankly, what I'm hearing, and this is going to sound like really technical person, sounds like what's being described as quantum physics, in a sense, even though that seems rather like a major terminology for something so simple as can be done by one individual, but yet the dramatic effects it can have. And once one lets go of whatever is bugging them out, or whatever the case is, no pun intended, of course, the aspect of being able to look at it from another point of view, from that, and it's time to move on and grow spiritually, as it were. So I'm finding that very curious.
Well, that's interesting.
You're good. You're good, Fran. That's really exactly what's happening here. I mean, it's so interesting that these Aboriginal tribes people have been practicing these things for at least 60,000 years, much, much longer than that. And it's science is just starting to catch up to what they've been doing. And the Aborigines wouldn't label it quantum physics, but that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, the Aborigines know that your emotions are tied to your body, and scientists are just discovering that 15 minutes of stress lowers your immune system for 24 hours. So they're starting to see the connection. And you're right, Fran, the Aborigines are already doing this stuff, and science is just waking up to it. Yes. Pay
that
attention
really
to what you're thinking, because you're creating it. Exactly.
That's right. Fran, anything else
that,
you'd like
to... Well, I think JD is in this technically inclined world that we live in, with this toy and that toy that's mechanical that we're basically coming in contact with or choosing not contact with, overriding everything else, just going to a moment of simplicity does wonders.
I would absolutely...
And it doesn't matter...
Absolutely agree with that. Yeah, meditation, or I've read a lot of reports talking about the beauty of that afternoon nap that everybody likes to take out there, and that, you know, you can take a 20-minute nap, and it'll mitigate 2 hours of poor sleep. Just a 20-minute nap will change your molecular structure and kill stress, and
You
know, that's what we're talking about today. I try and do that and meditate, you know, every day for at least a half an hour and just be still. And I feel like that's probably one of the things that's had the most profound effect on my whole health and my whole system, to be honest.
I would back that up 100%. And I have noticed that meditating every day keeps me at my prime. It really does. And people, they shy away from the word meditation, but it's simply quieting the mind.
That's right.
And really focusing on what's in front of you, really paying attention to washing those dishes and getting all the senses involved. That's a meditation. But I absolutely agree with you, Fran. It's about simplicity and getting back to that. That's going to really enhance your life. And meditation is probably one of the best things you can do for healing. It's really a very strong... It's going to really bring that healing force into your body a lot faster.
Love it. Fran, anything else?
That's it. Y'all have a great one, and don't play too hard. Just play hard at it.
Roger that. Thank you, Fran. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks,
and if anybody else wants to call in, the phone lines are open, 866-37-TRUTH, 866-378-7884. I want to kind of turn our attention a little bit, Robbie, to your consultations, and maybe talk a little bit about some of the more common things that you hear when you are doing consults and how people might be able to get involved with you on a direct one-on-one basis.
Well, my passion is helping people become empowered to recognize what they've been doing and how to turn it around so that they create the wellness that they want, and also to access this information from the other side more easily. That's a big one that's going to make a big difference for them. So, you know, 1 hour is all I need to transform them in so many ways. I love it. I love doing it. People love it. So a one-hour consultation will make a big difference. I will help them understand what the emotional root is to their illness, and then how to let that go, how to release it, and how to create the wellness, how to get that mind on board rather than sabotaging, and how to really start being a better team player with the assistance from the other side of the veil.
Oh, I like
and I've
it.
Deliberately kept them very, very affordable so that, you know, anybody has access to this. That's a very sensitive point for me, to make sure that all this information is available to anybody. So that's up there. And then there's also more information up on my website to help people. There's a lot of information on the blog to help people as well. So it's about taking this information and getting it out there, because as we heal, it helps others heal as well. And that's what's going to help this planet is as we continue to move into these higher vibrational frequencies and states and heal and thrive, it will do the same for others around us and the planet. And it's really needed right now.
Yes, 100 monkey principle. I would love to get all these people collectively conscious, you know, to understand that there's so much more going on. I think once we hit that critical mass, the whole world is going to change in a pretty miraculous way. And I hope that we're both part of that right now, Robbie, as we're moving forward. I wanted to talk just quickly, bouncing back to this idea of meditation. Do you have any advice for somebody out there who maybe has never done any meditation before and is maybe a little reticent about, you know, thinking about how am I supposed to do this? What am I supposed to do? Especially newbies out there who kind of your mind gets flooded and all of a sudden you're thinking about your Facebook updates and all of that kind of stuff. What kind of advice would you have for someone like that?
My grocery list, yeah, exactly. I think people have, you know, their minds tend to get in the way. They have expectations about it, and they think they're not doing it. you know, anytime you've quieted your mind, even for a couple of seconds, that's successful. That's a successful meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So just start out with 5 or 10 minutes a day. Don't make it so big that you don't do it. But all it means is just focusing on that breath. You got to give your mind something to do. I kind of liken it to giving a little kid a coloring book. You got to give it a task or it's just going to be really disruptive. So get that mind to focus on that breath and feel that breath all the way at the bottom of the diaphragm,
mm-hmm.
and feeling it come all the way back out. And there's a free abundance meditation on my website at holeswellness.com. They want to go there. It's a 10-minute one. It'll help bring in abundance. And it's a great way to start getting that mind to quiet down more and get that mind engaged. Have your mind help you find a couple minutes during the day. Even if you sit outside and weed and pick strawberries or sit outside and sip a cup of coffee or tea, really close your eyes and just engage in what's going on. Can you feel the wind against your skin? Can you feel your clothes against your skin? What do you hear? And then now go even deep, even subtler. What can I hear even farther out? That's a meditation. So, and there's information, I think, on my website again about quick and easy meditations. The benefits to meditating are tremendous. They're huge.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it doesn't, don't make it complicated. It's just simply getting that mind present moment. And you know, as I do, JD, thoughts are going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And just let them come in and then just let them keep on going.
Well, and it's another opportunity to take, you know, if you do have an intrusive thought and it is happen to be one of these negative things like we talked about earlier, there's a great opportunity to focus on that, find your silver lining and start applying gratitude, right? I mean, that's another thing that you can do if you understand what the thoughts are that are floating through your mind, right?
Exactly. Or take that and unravel. Where did that come from? Whose voice is that in mm-hmm. my head? You know, is that my mother's or is that something that happened to me when I was a child? Start unraveling and get to the core of that if that's something that you feel moved to do. Follow your intuition always. But what this is all about, all of this, is about not letting that mind run amok on autopilot and take us down alleys that are dark and unhealthy and fear-based and controlling. And it's about quieting that mind. And so meditation is a great way to bring you back to the present moment and quiet that mind so that you can feel inside. And then you transfer that out into your life during the day. That's the key.
Love it. But I don't have to go out and buy a yoga mat or special clothes or make my knees bend in uncomfortable ways or do anything like that. Like I can actually meditate while I'm in the garden is what you're saying.
You can meditate anywhere. Just close your eyes and get quiet and focus on your heart space. Even, I tell you, a really powerful meditation that takes 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you focus on your breath, you breathe in and out of your heart and think of something that you're grateful for. That is a very powerful meditation that can take 1 minute or 2 minutes.
Wow. And just think about what those 2 minutes could be in terms of health benefits for everybody. And especially if you think about the counter to that, where if your brain is just running amok, going down all of these thoughts that are creating frequencies, that are creating disease, you're almost like your own worst victim, your own worst enemy in terms of that. If you're not taking the opportunity to try and refocus your thoughts, right, Robbie?
Right, and it's like a pressure cooker. You're releasing that, or it's unhooking you from the mind's grasp. It's taking that power away from it, deflating like a balloon every now and then. And that's why I think you and I and other people will tell you one of the healthiest things we do is to meditate every day,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just 10 minutes. That's much better than waiting until the weekend to try to do an hour. Do 5 or 10 minutes, you know, just start. And then I don't know about you, but it's addictive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start tapping into this bliss, and it's very addictive. And then you start wanting to go there again, and that's it's awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, the universe wants you to be at peace. I mean, that's when getting back into what our caller Fran said about this whole quantum physics thing, and that gets us into, this idea of the collective consciousness and being grateful and that the universe wants you to be at ease most of the time, if not all of the time. So if you can get to that point and then let the universe know that you appreciate it, it's going to reciprocate by giving you more opportunities to have that feeling again. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy as far as I'm concerned. We're just about out of time, Robbie. I really appreciate you taking time to come onto the program and talk to us today. It was absolutely fantastic.
you're one of my favorites, JG. I can do this every day. I love it.
I'm very susceptible to flattery, so I'll just have to stop you right there. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with us. I hope you enjoyed Miss Robbie Holes. Definitely go check out her websites. You can find them again at redpillreports.com under the show section in her name. We're out of time. I will see you guys again tomorrow. Cecil something or other is going to be on the program. I can't remember his name, so I'm just falling apart here at the last minute, but I...
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.